Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and of course with me is, well, the guy who's extremely excited that Demi Lovato is going to be singing the national anthem at the Super Bowl. That would be Dan the Man. But hey, if you'd like to call in and talk to us, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so if you haven't checked out yesterday's blog, head on over there, and it'll still be hanging out waiting for you there. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Of course, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right, Dan. Well, I guess we have our, what I believe is going to be our, probably our fourth and final casualty from the sign stealing issue, and that is Carlos Beltran, who today parted ways with the Mets. Again, they another one of these, they agreed to part ways. So before he even manages a game, he got hired November 1st. So it was what? It was November, December, January. He was on the job for 3.5 months, never managed a game, and now he is out. Are you surprised by this, or did you kind of expect this?
No, I kind of expected it. I mean, I think the thing that sucks is, you know, you're looking at a guy with almost, what, a 20-year career, and now
yes.
Not that it doesn't mean anything, but he's just going to be attached to this cheating scandal now.
Yes, he is tainted. Now, I heard an interesting, let's call it theory, and I'll let you kind of in embellish on it a little more. There are a lot of people out there that think, now, Beltran was the only player named in MLB's investigation, and a lot of people are kind of hinting that Major League Baseball did this because, you know, obviously they're not going to penalize any players, but he, you know, again, obviously no longer a player. So they were kind of under the impression that Major League Baseball did this to force the Mets' hand and kind of force Beltran out. Are you, you're the conspiracy guy on the podcast. Do you buy that?
In a sense, yes, but I mean, well, yeah, because, you know, it's in the best interest of the game.
So, yeah, and, you know, I understand why, if you're the Mets, you want to get away from this, because, I mean, even though your team itself wasn't involved, and you know how these moron reporters are, every single question in spring training is going to be about, you know, about the sign stealing. Even though these players had nothing to do with it, they're going to continue to ask them about sign stealing, aren't they? Because the media is just that dumb.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, just, you know, it's a tough break for Beltran, who, you know, like you said, had a really good, you know, I don't know if you would say he's Hall of Fame worthy. You know, I'm sure he'll get some votes when his time comes up. But, you know, and it, well, now that he's got this hanging over his head, who knows? We'll have to see. So yeah, I'm guessing, you know, he is the last probably casualty of this, because you know, you would think if there would have been any other Astros disciplined, it would have happened already. Maybe somebody in the Red Sox besides Alex Cora gets dinged, but I don't know if this is happening. Now, obviously, Dan, the next question, these teams have got to find managers. Now, it's no big, I don't think it's as big a deal for the Mets to go out and find a guy as the Astros or the Red Sox, but I've seen that, like, obviously a candidate for the Astros job is their bench coach, Esprit, who interviewed quite a bit around baseball and didn't land anything this year. I believe he even had an interview here with the Cubs. And then for the Red Sox, it's Ron Renicky, who's their bench coach. Dan, both of these guys were bench coaches or were on the coaching staff when the sign-stealing took place. Is it really the best thing for these teams to promote these guys, or are they just kind of stuck with it being so late with the move they might have to make?
I think you don't even give them that title. You make them interim. So that way, you know, you're kind of protecting the face of the team.
So, you know, and then what I did notice is all the names that have really came up for the job seem to be veteran guys. I don't know if you've heard some of these names, but it's like, you know, Dusty Baker, Buck Showalter. There was even a hint that the Mets might bring back Terry Collins for a year just while they look for another guy. Do you think that's the best way to go? They go out and they land a veteran like, you know, your buddy Dusty or Buck Showalter or whoever, you know, whatever other veteran guy is hanging out there to kind of smooth over the situation, even if it's just for the short term? Oh, we killed Dan. Let me bring Dan back in here real quick. He ran away. All right, there you go. Did you hear my question? Oh, I said, do you think it's better for these teams to bring in a veteran like, you know, a Dusty, a Buck Showalter, or a Terry Collins to kind of help smooth this situation over, even if it's just for a year or two?
I think that's your best bet. I mean, you're scrambling for a manager. Who would you rather go with? You know, a guy with tons of experience. For a bench coach that they possibly get caught up in scandal.
Yeah, I find it so hard that they could promote a guy from the coaching staff, you know, who was there when all this went down. I can't see that being the best way for these teams to go, because again, you know, he's going to get all the questions, right? I mean, the media is going to know he was on the staff. You know, anytime the team does something, the first thing you're going to ask is, are they stealing signs, right?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, well, hope, you know, we'll have to see if this is the end of our, you know, our discipline. Do you think, with the exception of, you know, like what's going to be announced for Alex Cora and possibly Dave Dombrowski, Do you think we're done seeing suspensions, you know, after those two guys?
No. I think they're going to reevaluate, especially with what some of the players are coming out and saying. I mean, you're starting to upset, you know, not just the fans, but some of the other players. You know, I found it interesting that, you know, of course, I was not listening this morning, but, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but Golic is quoted as his Curtis follower that Mike Spire is telling them.
Wait, Mike Fiers did what? You broke up a little bit there.
Oh, Mike Fiers, how did that?
Yeah, he was the one who was the first player to say anything about it.
Yeah, and go look at Florida saying it's hard to swallow. So I didn't listen to, but I'm interpreting that as he doesn't like the fact that he snitched.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess that's one way to look at it, but you got to wonder, is that what you consider him? Is he a snitch or?
Yeah, I guess my only grievance would be is how long did it take him to find out, and why wasn't this brought up before he left the team?
I don't know. I know there's I saw there's a big article. Well, not, yeah, I guess it's a big article on the front page of the Yahoo website about Jessica Mendoza calling out Fires.
Oh, maybe.
But she's also invited to the Met. So I don't know, if she's just trying to, help cover up for her employer or, how that's going to work out. And it's too bad because I actually like Jessica Mendoza. So I would hate to see hate to see her get too deeply involved with this and not come off well. So
yeah, I was trying to look it up again, but I lost internet access on my phone for the time being.
Yeah, I don't understand why you really have a problem with this. I get it. You're upset that you lost your manager. Everybody was looking forward to Beltran having a managerial career. There were a lot of people who thought he would be really good at it. But he's paying the price for something he did. And I mean, it's not like everybody didn't know that was legal. They were told by Major League Baseball to not, do these, to steal signs basically this way. In reality, it's not illegal to steal signs. It's illegal to use technology to steal signs. And that's what these teams were doing. So if you're out on the base path and you can pick something up and tip off your guy, there's nothing wrong with that. You can pick up a pitcher tipping pitches and you tell your teammates that's all part of the game. But in this type of situation, you're going back and looking at video and figuring all this stuff out, that's a different story. So, but yeah, do you think the Beltran thing going away once we finally get the Red Sox announcement, will this go away? Will this start to go away? Or is it going to be one of these stupid things that it carries over into the season for probably no reason?
Well, it depends on how good or bad the Mets play, but I think whatever they decide for Alex Cora is going to overshadow. What's his name? Carlos Beltran.
Yeah, because, this is one of those things, man, I don't want to be talking about this all freaking year. that's the last thing I want to be dealing with. So
it's interesting because if you, look at kind of rules of engagement or, how wars are fought, they generally go after the leaders and that. Depending on the case, the FIE, the World War II, they went after any guard, you know, all the subsidiaries, I guess you could call them, you know, that followed the orders. So it's interesting the approach Major League Baseball took, where they're kind of just going after the head, even though, I mean, it takes two to tango, right?
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, I did take a look at Josh Reddick's numbers, and it's interesting that in 2017 he had a .341 batting average, and then it drastically dropped, and that was pretty much the height of his career. And you know, as for as long as this show's been going on, you know, I've been the number one guy who's always picked why him? Why do teams go after him? You know, he's bounced back and forth between the A's, the Red Sox, ended up in Houston getting a pretty solid contract, and I always questioned it. Is it because he's bold? And you know, I mean, I had respect for the guy because he played the game. Of course, I never made it to that level, and he was better than I was, but I didn't see him as this key player. And then all of a sudden to see that his numbers are at the peak of a year when his scandal is broken out, you know, it's kind of like the Melky Cabrera thing. You know, even the steroids thing. So
yeah.
it's very, you know, you have respect, but then you kind of lose it all. Yeah, and his average has gone down. You know, his performance has gone down since he peaked. So it's very interesting. You know, one of the things that was brought up was Altuve's Game 7 home run off Chapman. But, you know, then the arguments are made that Chapman only has two pitches to begin with, so you know what's coming either way.
Yeah, couldn't you say that, you know, all the time? I mean, hey, here's, you know.
Yeah.
We only have two things. Okay, great. You
know. But, you know, it's also been brought up, like we talked about yesterday, you know, Kershaw's reputation was a choker in the postseason.
Yeah. You know, I guess, you know, like my question for the, you know, the Chapman thing is, well, if he only has two pitches, how come more guys will take deep?
Yeah.
So, you know, that would be the only thing that was, you know, kind of confusing for me. I mean, if he's not, you know, if it's only two pitches, then, well, everybody should be hammering him, and yet he's one of the best receivers in the game. So
I don't know. At the end of the day, I think more so than ever, it's just, you know, I think it's even more disappointing than the guys who take Fitzgerald. I don't know. I'm not going to say it's any worse or any better. Either one, they're both at a level of cheat. But I think of all, this one just seems a lot more disappointing to me. And then,
yeah,
you know, if they keep coming out with more things, I mean, I'm always at the point where, you know, maybe those titles should be vacated. And you just don't have, you can keep them in the record books, but I'm at the point now where I'm kind of of the belief that, Boston and Houston shouldn't be able to have those championship titles in their hands.
Yeah, well, you know, and then, you know, the other thing that, you know, I believe we only kind of glossed over it a little bit yesterday, but, you know, you pointed out, and I heard somebody talking about it on the radio today, how, you know, Altuve refused to have his jersey torn off. And I don't remember who posted it on Twitter, and I'd love to know how much time it took them to figure this out, but they actually went through and posted a bunch of pictures of Astros and Red Sox players where it looked like they had something under their uniforms, you know, in certain areas where it could be, you know, like you would say a microphone or a listening device or whatever it could be. And I took it more as humorous, but, you know, I know there's a lot of people out there now with this going on that believe, you know, with the Altuve situation that he was hiding something.
Well,
do you think it's possible? Are you in that camp or where are you?
I 100% think it's possible. I have seen some of the pictures, and unfortunately with the jerseys, I still feel like, you know, if you were to call it a replay on this, it would be inconclusive. You can't determine whether or not they have something underneath them. But there is a picture of Josh Reddick, and there's actually two pictures. He's post-game. He has the goggles on. He's on the field. And I think it's his upper left. Yeah, because I was looking at post-game, right? Is like right by his shoulder, the front of his deltoid, kind of right by the shoulder. There's some yellow tape and a device, like a little, looks like a little buzzer device, almost like a wire can attached to him. And then the next screen over is a picture of him with the tape still attached to his body and no device underneath it. So, you know, I know that experiment was done a few years ago, which you remember they were like tracking the players to get their whole body performance. So,
yeah,
you know, it's hard to say if that coincides with the same thing.
If not, it would be a good excuse for him, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, my question to you right now with all of this, is it, you know, knowing that we have access to, you know, both World Series, I don't know if you would want to go through the entire championship series, you know, for each team, but does it kind of entice you to want to go back and actually rewatch these games?
Yeah, you know, I think what I would be interested for is, you know, like I've seen and heard guys talk about how they've been able to isolate the noise, you know, which is what allegedly what they're, I guess it's allegedly anymore, but with the way the Astros, you know, communicated. So I would be really interested to see if, you know, it was kind of like, oh, okay, did this really happen?
Yeah, I mean, you and I, we don't have the time, the funds, or equipment to really pull off something like that. But, you know, Major League Baseball, you know, they have all that. They can actually isolate, you know, each different camera and each different microphone that's placed around the stadium to determine that. So you've got to wonder if this investigation is over. Because if it were up to me, you know, this is a couple of years old now, and if I were the commissioner, I would not close. I would continue. I would have my guys in the sound booth, you know, in those places. And, you know, listening to this, every frame of this, you know, until you get an absolute conclusive identification.
Yeah, well, you've got to, right? I mean, if you're the Dodgers or the Yankees or anybody who lost to the Astros in the playoffs, you've got people working on this, right?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, and like you mentioned, you brought up the two teams. You know, if I were the owner, president, I don't know what level of staff would put this order out there, but I would actually bar my players, but pretty much let everyone know to not just not talk about it. You know, you can kind of express your disappointment or your feeling, but as far as the investigation and, you know, looking back at the past, I would keep my, you know, I guess you keep your chin up, but turn the other cheek and just, you know, you can't do anything about it. There's no point in, you know, beating a dead horse. You got to move forward.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's nothing, you know, you can do. I mean, it's not going to change, so.
No, and you don't want your guys to sound like, obviously, first of all, you don't want them to sound like sore losers, but you just don't want them to sound kind of whiny. You know, you got to let
right.
them move on and focus on 2020. The funny thing is that, you know, one of the biggest chokers, allegedly, was Yu Darvish.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it completely changes your entire perspective. You know, his main reason for leaving L.A. to come to Chicago was because his kids were getting teeth. But, I wonder if L.A., you know, worse than Chicago, because I can't imagine his kids having any better of a time here in Chicago.
Yeah, well, you know, and to be fair, they thought the reason he was getting rocked like that was because he was tipping his pitches.
Yeah.
So now, you know, now you've got to wonder if maybe he wasn't really tipping his pitches. So, you know, just kind of, yeah, it's just all such an odd scenario, you know, with the way things played out and all the, you know, the goofiness with, I mean, it's just unbelievable what it's turned into. So.
But it is Thursday and the weekend's coming up. I know you'll be at least catching both, but do you have a favorite that you're looking to watch this weekend? Out of the playoff game?
No. Yeah, no, I'm I don't have a rooting interest in either team. And, you know, I mean, well, you know, we'll see. I mean, you know, the Packers play generally close, but, you know, I don't hate them like a lot of Bears fans do. You know, if I only have two guys left in my playoff pool, so I need the Chiefs and the 49ers to win if I'm going to have any chance. So I guess that's where I'm going, you know. So, you know, we'll see. And, you know, and obviously I'm sure we'll, you know, I'll make Schomburg Stu pick the games tomorrow like I've been doing. And he actually got 3 out of 4 last week. He was rolling along. So he did. I'm not picking him. He's picking him. I'm making him do it. So, you know. But, yeah, since you brought up football and this is associated with football, I know you and I talked just a tad bit about this on Tuesday, but I don't know if you have seen the developing Odell Beckham Jr. story. Have you?
No.
I
can't wait to hear.
The idiot was out on the field handing LSU players money. They've got it on tape. University tried to claim that it was fake money. And then the quarterback, Joe Burrow, actually got asked about it. And he said, the quote went something like, "I'm no longer a student athlete, so yes, it was real money." So that answers that question. So obviously there's a huge violation there. Now, there's nothing the NCAA can do to Odell Beckham. You know, that would be up to – you know, up to the only thing they could do is come down on the university or, you know, that stuff. But afterwards, in the locker room, the LSU players are smoking cigars to celebrate their victory. A security officer comes in, and he's obviously the Debbie Downer. He's trying to get them to stop. Odell Beckham comes up behind the guy, slaps him on the rear end. Now, this is all on video, so there's no speculation here. This is how it happened. The guy turned around, and you can tell he's not happy, even though you can't see his face. You can tell he's a little agitated. Well, the state of Louisiana, I believe, is where the game was played. So a nice home game for LSU anyway. They have issued an arrest warrant for Odell Beckham Jr. for battery, for slapping this guard on the rear end. They originally wanted to charge him with sexual battery because of the fact that he slapped him in the butt. But they lowered it to just battery, and yeah, there is an actual arrest warrant now for Odell Beckham Jr. in the state of, you know, Louisiana or New Orleans or whatever the province is there. So, yeah, just kind of bad to worse. I don't know how you look at it.
I mean, it's not as bad as all the pot smoking arrests a few years back, I guess. But, you know, my first question to you, though, Big Jack, is are the Browns scheduled to go down to New Orleans next year?
That I don't know. I don't know. Have they released the NFL schedule for next year?
No, you're right. I think it's still too early.
Yeah.
Because I know that's during baseball season, and despite the fact that all of baseball goes on, and I'm sure this happens everywhere locally, but, you know, here, once they release the Bears schedule, you know, there's no other sport going on for the rest of that week, you know. So, yeah, you're right. It would be a big news if the NFL released their schedule. So that'll be interesting if he decides to turn himself in and pay the fines. You know,
hang on, but real quicker, they do actually have who the Browns will play next year, because obviously, you know, they play everybody in their division twice, and then with the way the NFL rotates stuff, the Browns do go to New Orleans. They face the NFC East next year, so they get the Cowboys, Eagles, and Redskins. And then kind of the randomly two generated games are going to be the Raiders and the Jets. So, yeah, no trip to New Orleans for Odell.
It's always amazing when they travel east, they travel south.
Yes. We're going to play in the NFC East, but we're going to Washington. So, yeah. And then we're going to play in the NFC East, and we're going to Dallas. Wait, hang on.
I don't know. Stupid side note, I think they should eliminate the NFC North, those names, and just give them their own stupid title.
You go play the New York Giants in New Jersey.
Yeah.
So. It can come with a fine of no more than $1,000 and imprisonment for more than 6 months, or possibly both.
Wow.
You know, obviously, he was, you know, you can tell on the video that he's playing. He's not doing what you would consider battery. This is probably just some jackleg district attorney trying to make a name for himself. So, you know, we're going to charge, you know. Obviously, Beckham can afford a good lawyer. My guess is he'll probably just have to pay a fine and be done with it. I would be shocked if he got sentenced to any jail time for this. You know, maybe they'll hit him with some community service. But, I just thought, it was kind of strange. And, obviously this security guy is a gigantic D-bag because he's in there trying to ruin the celebration. So... You know, he's the one security guard walking around telling the players to, you know, to stop. You know, don't you know, like, shut up, idiot. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not can't do that indoors here. You know, smoking inside is illegal in Illinois.
Well, obviously, you know, you can't do it indoors there either, but.
Well, I mean, I don't know. You don't know. Is that the law down there? I don't know. But, you know, it's like you said, that's one of the things that's always going on in football, the slap on the bottom. And, you know, if it were to a player, it would have been nothing other than just that. But it's the security guard. So, you know, if I were the security guard, I'd be like, hey, guys, stop doing that. And then just walked away. I did my job.
You know, and then I laugh because, you know, of course, you know, the jack-like media like they are had to go to the Browns for a statement. Like, the Browns are going to issue a big thing because Odell Beckham slapped some guy in the rear end. You know, that happens on the field how many times a game?
Yeah.
So, you know, but, yeah, it's just like, well, let's contact the Browns and see what they have to say. Dude, you know, if I would have been the Brown guy who answered the phone, I'd have just hung up. Yeah, go away. Yeah, well, like we care.
At least he didn't do it to a female reporter.
Right. You know, I mean, then obviously it would have become an issue. You know, but, you know, this is some, you know, jerk water security guy trying to be, you know, Joe Badass, and, you know, I'm going to be the one to enforce the rule. You stop that right now, young man. Get off my lawn. So,
you know, that's one thing I don't know if we brought it up during the baseball season. And, you know, I get it, but I don't know. I just, some of those celebrations drive me nuts. So you won a wild card game, yeah, maybe. But until you win the World Series, don't the celebrations are kind of, the way they have everything scheduled now, you know what I mean? Doesn't it kind of not mean as much?
You know, I almost think a lot of them are made for TV.
Yeah.
When it, you know, most of that stuff. I mean, you do the celebration just because the TV camera is there. Because, yeah, I mean, if you think about it, and baseball is the one that really seems to go to the extreme. I mean, like, when the football teams win, they don't go in the locker room and shower themselves with champagne unless you've won the Super Bowl. But,
exactly.
Yeah, you know, like baseball, you know, when you clinch the division, you do it. You know, if you're the wild card team and you win the wild card game, you do it. And now you've got the, you know what, the DS and the CS.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just kind of, you know, borderline ridiculous with the fact that, you know, we've got four or five different reasons to do this in baseball. And it's like, okay, why?
Well, and even, you know, here in Chicago, it's Club Dub. Whatever, you know, excuse me, because, you know, the Cubs have the W flag, so the Bears have to do something. And it's like, yeah, that's great, guys. You're 3-7, and you're celebrating because you won today.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, that's just kind of, you know, it's always kind of, you know, it always baffles me. Like, the thing that always gets me in football is when, you know, I believe I saw Tariq Cohen was one of the guys who did it for the Bears this year. They were just getting trounced. And he got a first down and spun the football on the ground and did the big finger point for the first down. And they were losing by, like, 30 points. And all the guys on the other team started doing was pointing to the scoreboard. And it's just like, yeah, you guys maybe need to pay attention to what the before is before you, you know, you get out there and start celebrating like you just won something. You know, it's like, okay, great. But yeah, that's just, you know, that's just kind of the way it goes. But yeah, you know, what can you do now? That, you know, that's how the game is played, and you know, whatever it works out, and we'll see who knows what's next or how it works out. But yeah, that's one of the things that always kind of makes me chuckle. You know, it's kind of like, yeah, okay, you know, they you're getting completely destroyed, but yet you're going to jump up and down because you just got a first down. Yeah, okay. Let's go back to the huddle and try to get back in the game. So, but yeah, while we were talking about football, there are, you know, since there's only two games, they actually are both going to be played on Sunday, but in, you know, wonderful NFL style, they're not at the times we're used to watching games. You know, like I like everybody else are used to the, you know, the noon start and then the 3:30 start. Yeah, you're not gonna get that here. We get the what is it, 2:05? Yeah, the 2:05 start is the AFC matchup. Of course, that's Tennessee at Kansas City. You know, and then if that finishes on time, we'll get 5:40 for the start time of Green Bay at San Francisco. So yeah, there you go. I know. Again, with my work schedule, last week the Sunday game ran so long I didn't get to see the end of it. I didn't know the Seahawks had actually managed to make it a 5-point game until I got up to go to work at 2 a.m. So just kind of, you know, but you know, football has kind of fallen into that baseball trap of, you know, let's make sure we get something in prime time. And it's like, yeah, okay, great, here we go. So that's what you get, and you know, we'll see. I mean, hopefully we get a couple good games. I wasn't really thrilled with the games last week. I didn't think any of them were very good. You know, obviously the Texans and the Chiefs was a very exciting offensive game. But, you know, not, again, it's not what I was looking for. I mean, you know, it was probably the most fun game to watch out of the four. But I'm kind of out there looking for, like, a real football game. You know, not a, you know, a bunch of kind of going up and down the field. I mean, you know, at first the Chiefs couldn't stop the Texans, and then the Texans couldn't stop the Chiefs. And that was just kind of how the game went. And it's like, yeah, okay, great. It's interesting to watch. And a lot of offense, which I know people like, but I don't mind a, you know, a quality defensive game where teams are trying to outsmart the other or outplay the other. And I just don't think we got it last week. And like I said, I mean, you know, the Seahawks did manage to cut that game to 5 points, but I don't think they were ever a threat to win it. So, you know, just one of those, just one of, you know, one of those things, the way it kind of goes. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. But I did hear a really, I'm going to go with interesting idea here on the way to look at it. Now, you know, Clemson just lost to LSU in the national championship. Now, Clemson won last year. They've had the same quarterback both years. You know, he's a player by the name of Trevor Lawrence. He was a freshman the first year they won, so he's only a sophomore this year. You know, he's going to go back for his junior year and then probably enter the NFL draft, where he'll be the number one pick. I heard a really interesting idea today about this guy signing with the XFL and actually getting to play his final year before he enters the NFL draft. I actually thought that was a pretty interesting idea. I don't know what he's making at Clemson, but, you know, the XFL could pay him, I believe I heard somebody say, probably up to $10 million for one season. And it would be really good publicity for the XFL to take this guy in for 1 year. I just wonder, you know, going back to kind of the wrestling thing, I know I'm not sure if Vince McMahon could put his ego aside to be like feeder for the NFL, but that could draw a lot of publicity to his league if they sign this kid to just a 1 year deal, no matter what team he ended up on.
Yeah, and not only that, I mean, it makes them, I think it would give them a little bit more credit. I don't want to say credibility, but credibility. And like you said, if it draws more people, I think, you know, I'm all for, you know, things like this you want to see succeed. I wanted to see the AFL, or that was what it's called, right?
The AF, AAF.
Oh, okay. I would have liked to have seen it succeed, but I mean, it was just very difficult to watch. I don't know what it was. I mean, but I guess that also comes from the fact that I'm also not the biggest football fan to begin with. So, you know, the NFL is sometimes difficult for me to get through an entire game to begin with. So to watch a league of guys I don't know, and, you know, it is stupid as it sounds. I mean, we're human, and we kind of gravitate towards what we recognize. And, you know, if something new isn't blowing your socks off, and then you don't recognize any of the stuff, I think that's what made it harder to watch. And then I think it's funny, though. Their problem was I think they just rushed their league too quickly, didn't have everything all set up. And then, you know, this is the guy trying to compete with Vince, and then it's like, we're running out of money, Vince, can we merge with you? And he's like, no, I don't want to be attached to your crumbling product.
Yeah, well, you know, I think they wanted to beat Vince on the air, you know, because Vince, the XFL came out and said, you know, I think it was 2 years ago that they wouldn't start till 2020. It may have even been three when they made the announcement because of the way they were going to do things. You know, and I think, you know, the good old AF saw, okay, well, we've got to get on before them. And then, you know, let's face it, I watched a couple weeks of it. It wasn't good football. I mean, it wasn't even Division I college-level football. You know, I mean, like, I honestly don't think any of those teams in the AF could have beat LSU, who just won the national title. I don't even think they would have given them a game. I think they would have just got blown out. So, you know, why do I want to watch that? You know, I don't understand the concept of sitting there going, okay, I'm watching who? You know, this guy was the sixth-round draft pick for what team in the NFL and never played a down? You know, I mean, at least with the XFL, I mean, like, just today – they signed Antonio Callaway. And, you know, I know it won't mean a lot to a lot of people, but being a fantasy football guy, he was a rookie with the Browns last year, and actually, or in 2019 now, so two seasons ago, actually caught 43 passes and scored 5 touchdowns. So I knew the name when I saw the signing. You know, and I understand why he's going to the XFL, because he got a 4-game suspension for a substance abuse violation, and then he managed to pick up a 10-game suspension for his second violation, so the Browns cut him. He's out of a job. So I can understand why he's headed to the XFL. But, yeah, I saw this story with Trevor Lawrence, and I thought, that is a fantastic idea. You know, because imagine, you know, like the kid from Alabama, this Tua Tagovailoa, you know, he was supposed to be the number one pick, Dan, and what happens? He goes out at Alabama and he gets hurt. You know, and it looks like now, you know, they're saying he's only going to drop to number five. But, you know, just imagine if he would have slipped out of the top 10. That's a lot of money we start talking about. You know, and again, I don't know what he's making at Alabama. I'm sure they're paid pretty well. And don't try to tell me they're not. I'm not stupid. You know, I mean, if Trevor Lawrence could go play one season in the NFL and put $10 million in his bank account, sorry, Clemson, I'm leaving.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, what are the qualifications for the NFL draft? I mean, you know, playing professionally and getting paid, can you still be drafted by the NFL, or do you just get a call for a tryout?
Because he would have never been eligible for the NFL draft, he can make himself eligible.
Huh. That's really interesting.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously that would have to be something to be looked into. But, yeah, you know, I mean, when you start throwing those kind of figures around, I mean, even if it's $5 million, to get a $5 million head start on your career and to get some work against guys who have formerly played in the league, that's invaluable experience that you're not going to get at Clemson or even in your first NFL training camp.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I you know, the minute I heard it, I thought, that is a fantastic idea. You know, and I don't know, I would say the XFL should pursue these guys, but that may be against the rules. I don't know if they could do something like that. But, you know, maybe it's possible. I guess they could go recruit, right? Why couldn't they recruit?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, if you think about it, you know, and again, I don't remember where the XFL teams are located, but I'm sure there's one, you know, in the area where Clemson is there. I mean, what do we have? There's, you know, D.C. Well, I guess Washington and Clemson is North Carolina or South Carolina. So there's a Washington team. That's not too far. I'm sure, you know, it would. But, you know, either way, it would draw viewership, right? I mean, if you're a college football fan or a Clemson fan, wouldn't you want to see how Trevor Lawrence did in the XFL?
Oh, yeah. Well, and, you know, here's something I just thought of out of the blue. And, you know, if you play for the XFL and you're still eligible for an NFL draft, the timing of the XFL season kind of works out perfectly, doesn't it? Because even if you're drafted, you don't have to agree to a contract that day. So you can essentially play one season, finish out that season after you finish your college, you know, let's just, you know, right tomorrow, you know, you could, you know, like the championship just finished, college is over with, you can go play in the XFL coming up and, what, is it like 3 or 4 weeks? Can't remember. I know. And then you could get drafted in the NFL and finish the XFL so you get your full payday and then sign a contract after the XFL season's over with and be ready.
Well, you know, in reality, you know, any of these guys who are free agents, if they wanted to, like, you know, the big-time quarterbacks, you know, the Dak Prescotts and guys like that, they could go play in the XFL if they wanted to. You know, anybody who's a free agent could go and sign a one-year deal and go play. I mean, I know that would be a lot of wear and tear on the body with all the extra football, but, you know, if they wanted to do it, you know, they could actually do it. So – But all right, well, I don't want to forget here, Dan. You know, we put up our polls and we posted everything, and we had our first initial run of what we're calling Dan's Drive-In, where we give you three movie choices and you pick the movie Dan is going to watch over the weekend. Obviously, he'll come back Monday and review it for us. And again, we had our three choices were Rookie of the Year, The Rookie, and Cool Runnings. Were you able to find out what won and what you're watching this weekend? Because I have not. To be honest, I wanted to be surprised, and I haven't looked.
Well, you know, we only got a handful of votes via email, so you know, I'm going to include those, but it ended up going with everyone leaned towards the 100% Twitter poll that we conducted, and it's going to be Cool running. You know, it's pretty close for Rookie of the Year, but we're going with Cool Runnings this weekend. I was kind of surprised. I don't know. I guess maybe that's one of those movies that's been on, I wouldn't say on people's minds, but when you see it, it's like, what was that movie again? Oh, John Candy and the Jamaican Bobsled Team. So, on Monday, I'm sure you'll have the IMBFLQP. I don't remember all the initials for that or what any of that stands for, but I'm sure you'll have that ready to go and kind of give us that take on it, and I'll give you my review. Maybe I'll tell you what Rotten Tomatoes out of it.
Is actually International Movie Database. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but it's the one thing I don't like about it is, well, I don't think it's as friendly as it should be. You know, I was trying to, there's this actress who, you know, one of them stupid Facebook things that I saw, oh, she was, you know, a Disney kid and now she's super hot. And, you know, you're looking at her and you're like, I have no clue, you know. So I searched her and, you know, they, of course, all the pictures link back to her current age. And I'm like, just show me when she was a kid. I just, you know, to put the face to the face. So I wish they would do that, you know. They're in a show in the 90s. Just kind of put that picture up, and then you can link over and see their full-grown adult picture, you know. But I digress. So Cool Runnings it is.
Yeah.
I forgot who the other actors are, but it's John Candy, right?
Yeah, John Candy plays the coach. And then it's, you know, I believe here, I think the four Jamaicans who are the bobsledders, Leon Robinson, Dougie Doug, Raleigh D. Lewis, and Malik Yoba are the four guys who play the actual bobsledders.
Dougie Doug was hot in the 90s.
Yes.
Wasn't he off, didn't he come from MTV and stuff?
Yeah, I believe he's I thought he was a rapper at one time or something like that where he got, or no, I think he was a comedian.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I believe he, you know, I believe he had some MTV experience, all that stuff. But yeah, he, you know, looking at it, he's appeared in quite a few movies, nothing lately. But yeah, he's got quite a few movie appearances, so you know, you'll get to check that out, and it'll be interesting to see what you think. And I remember liking the movie, so I'll be interested to see what your take is on it. Have you ever seen it?
I believe so, but it's not one of those that I had, you know, back in the old video store days. I don't think I rented it more than once.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. You can listen anytime you want.
First time radio.